And thank you for joining us. Fresh back from my anniversary trip with my sweet bride. It was a terrific getaway. And thanks again to Jennifer and Tom for sitting in and taking care of business. Appreciate it. And I appreciate you letting me slip out and check out for a week, last week. So it was great. I got to say, I don't know how, but we avoided all the cold everywhere. It was amazing. We just went down to Mesquite. And if you haven't been there, it's a pretty sleepy little town. We were youngsters there in that town. But fabulous golf. Zion Park, went there a couple of times. And then a place called Snow Canyon, if you've not been there, got to go in St. George. So cool. So cool. And yeah, it was windy and all that good stuff. But we weren't getting snowed on, and Texas was just terrible. Boy. Anyway, I appreciate it, and thank you for letting me take some time. And I'm anxious to be back. It's very interesting. You come back, and you come back to your family, right? Your work family, your clients, you, Kevin. And it's just it's something that you miss when you're gone, right? It was something my wife and I were talking about this morning, right? It's like, you know, if she had been reading about contentment, right, and how when we're home, we want to take a trip, and when we're on a trip, we want to come home, right? Instead of just being content where we are, right? But it is good to be back, and it's good to be refreshed, I guess. So thanks again, and I want to say this as we're kind of going to talk a little bit about COVID as we do from time to time, but I want to touch on this. This is some very important developments here that I think are going to change the trajectory of COVID. Two things. One, you know, we've talked about this before. I never understood why if we have 60% efficacy on the Pfizer drug, first shot, that's pretty good. That's like really good. Way better than the flu. Not even close to how, yeah, the flu's not even close. 65%, and it goes to 90, low 90s on the second shot. Still, first shot clearly going to be effective, going to give you some immunity. Let's just say even if you did get it, you were the 35% that did get it, it would be more mild. So a really powerfully important thing, kind of like the Johnson & Johnson one coming out, where it's somewhere in that same range efficacy, but it has 100% not serious, right? People don't die. And that's kind of the objective, right? I mean, people might get sick, they might get COVID, but they won't die. That sounds like a really good vaccine to me. But Israel's now come out with studies that show that, you know, they're doing it differently, and they're doing it differently in the UK. They're finally saying, we're not going to give two shots, we're just giving one. And get the whole country covered, then we'll come back and get them a second one. Now, doesn't that sound smart? I mean, the mathematics are pretty simple, right? So if you have 100 million doses, then 65 million people are now, you know, they got the green card. They're fully immune. Or we have 100 million doses and you get 92% or whatever it is. So let's call it 45 million people. I mean, the math is simple. It always made more sense if we're trying to get this herd immunity. But on top of that, here's the thing. I know you're not going to see it in the news all the time, right? You won't, but it's going to leak out. But cases are down 77% in 6 weeks. That's not vaccines. That's herd immunity. It's happening. It's happening. It's plunging. You can't even believe, you know, the charts that you may or may not have seen. Go out and see them on World. What's that thing again? Anyway, just type in coronavirus and it'll come up. I'll think of that, the name of that website. And they cover all the world and what the numbers are. It's this cliff that just goes down, almost straight down. And so it's global. It's not just where they're getting shots. And that's the amazing part. It is just everywhere. How are they going to keep people from knowing that? The only people out there that are, well, we're going to get new strains. And, well, it's the news media, okay? Because what are they going to talk about now 24/7? What are they going to talk about? I mean, number one, the angry orange guy is gone, so it's not a political thing anymore. So Joe can take all the credit he wants, and I realize what they want to do is they want to stretch this out so it looks more like it was Joe, not orange guy. So they'd love it to go out for another 3 months or 6 months. There's no way people are staying down. No way. No way. I mean, it just is going, it's booming out there. You know, and even the talk of the stimulus, we've got to get this done. We've got to get this done. We've got to hurry. Why? The economy is exploding. It's exploding. I said, well, what about the people? I know. Open the restaurants. Let's go. Let's go. But pushing more money doesn't open restaurants. People just actually going to restaurants opens restaurants. Not being in stage four or whatever stage we're in, I don't know. It depends on where you're at, I suppose, as to how serious we have to distance and everything. I'm not saying everybody go get in a closed room and breathe on each other if you haven't had the vaccine. But the idea that, oh, we're not sure. It looks like people could re-get it and all. Well, then why haven't they? I don't think people should travel, you know, getting on those airplanes. People, flight attendants are, shows how dated I am, right? Flight attendants are not dropping like flies. They're not. Something like 1.2 billion passengers through October, even during COVID worldwide, and 42 cases transmitted. 42. I'm more likely to get hit by lightning, even though it's not a cloudy day, sitting here talking to you, than getting COVID off an airplane. But that's not the news, right? Because it doesn't scare people into submission. It's incredible. So when we think about how bifurcated the stock market was this last year, right? You had the big winners, right? The tech and doing, and then all the big losers. How about a flip-flop? No, tech isn't going to go away. But how good is it going to be for hotels, airlines, travel companies? You already are seeing it in their stocks. The industrials coming back. An enormous amount of pent-up demand exploding on the scenes this coming year, this coming months. It's happening now. It's going to start happening now. That's the amazing thing. That's the stunning thing. We're seeing things happen all over the world. So it's not just up to us and our political divisions here. So we can only see things through the red filter or the blue filter because I need to be terrified. Now, I'm walking around hiking. We're hiking around Zion Park. Outside, you know, the wind's blowing. Okay? It's outside. Now, what does the science say about coronavirus? The science says you have to be exposed to it for a long time in a closed room. That's basically how it's transmitted. It appears to be all basically families get together, parties or whatever, and they're all inside breathing on each other constantly for a long period of time. Not walking by each other on a trail outside. People, so many people wearing masks. It doesn't, this is why, because the information, why? Because if you're, the mainstream media, super far left, crazy progressives, you have to scare people into submission. You do not want them to have freedom. So you just beat it into them. Boom, 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 boom. Got to wear a mask. It's the only thing that's safe. All those crazy right-wing radicals running around without masks, they're spreading the disease. They are. It's just terrible. It's awful. And that's the way it is constant. So even as cases go down 77%, you still don't hear that on the media. You still don't hear California going, we got to get these restaurants opened up. I don't want to get too carried away here. But somebody please tell me why teachers aren't teaching. Oh, well, there's a good bit of security. You can go get the, why? Why? I get so angry about this. I really do, because this is a whole generation of people that we're messing up. Why? Because the teacher, I don't believe that the teachers don't want to teach, but teachers' unions don't. I guess what you have is the old rule, right? If you really want something to get really bad, make it free. So we have free education. Every private school has better testing. Every private school's run better. Every private school, they spend less money and they educate better. Oh, I mean 100% of them. It's not even close. Public education just gets worse every year. Every single year. Well, we need more money. We need more money for what? More benefits for the teachers. They won't teach. Unbelievable to me. I know. I'm sure. PetsoFinancial.com. Shoot out the angry hate mail. But it is very frustrating. I don't get it. Why? Why is this kind of behavior okay? Why do we accept the dumbing down of our country? Why do we accept that the DMV is awful? Why? Well, you took, oh, it's government, so it's terrible. So we want government to teach with no accountability. You have liberals that are screaming, we got to get these kids taught. This is not a right-wing thing. So what's the matter with our government? What is the matter with us? We just accept. It's okay. You get your paycheck. It's not okay that the small business guy over here is going out of business. It's crazy. It's totally acceptable that we just lose a whole generation of kids, especially the poor. It's totally acceptable that we want to try to close down those charter schools in the inner cities, the ones that work, because we don't care about poor black kids. We don't. Because we're the teachers' union. We hate poor black kids. That's what it feels like. That's what it looks like. That's what the reality of it is. And this is going to change, in my mind, within moments. And we are going to explode out. So those that think it's going to be 3 to 6 months, I don't think so. Those that are going to continue to get on the airwaves and talk about, we got to be careful here. We got to be super careful. We don't want to have another spike. They're wrong. Nobody's listening anymore. Because nobody's getting it anymore. The case numbers are plunging. And we got to open, we need more money for the schools before we can open. People aren't going to buy that. It's over. Pushed it too far. I know, I've said that before for so many years. I've just done, but I really believe it. I really do. This is why, no matter what, no matter how bad the policies are of this administration, and they are bad, and your heart can hurt, and mine hurts, not just for Rush this week, not just for what happened with the elections. My heart hurts for my country. Just like yours. But our job every day is to see the markets correctly, not through my red filter, not through my freedom filter, but through the filter of what's really going on in the economy. And it's really good. And it's going to get really good really fast. Really fast. This thing's over. It's all over but the crying, right? It is. It's heading out fast. And every day we get better and better at figuring out how to give shots. I don't get it either. It's all political correctness. Again, this is a virus of politics. Got to take a quick break here. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And thanks to my sweet bride, just sent me actually this. I don't know where you got this, but this crazy that this just came out from the New York Post. Single doses of Pfizer and Moderna vaccine are more than 92% effective. A single dose. Single dose. That's pretty crazy. And Moderna's is 92%. 92. That's BioNTech, Pfizer, 92%. Moderna, 92.1. That's crazy. On one shot. You only go up to 94%. This is according to the New England Journal of Medicine, not some little unknown journal. That's incredible. Really something. That's big. Thanks for sending that. I thought it was 65%. So apparently those numbers are coming up very dramatically. Very, very dramatically. All right. Brenda, hang on, will you? We've only got a couple minutes left in this hour. I don't want to shortchange whatever it is you want to talk about. So we will hold you over the news at the top of the hour, okay? Once again, I think this is really critically important. One of the things that has happened, of course, with not putting kids in schools is obviously the kids are not adjusting well to that, right? I mean, we all get the social numbers as if that's not a COVID victim, right? These kids are very, very harmed by this isolation. But here's the other side of this, too, as we're trying to plan for the big opening, the big reopening, if you will. And that is when all of the schools are open for full-time teaching. What does that do for families, small businesses working, right? And that is because that's part of it, right? While they're in school, we're at work. So think about that on the economic side. How many more people are going to be going back to work? In part because their kids are going back to school. It's part of the whole reopening, isn't it? Right? And also, obviously, things are going to change. We've learned that Zoom meetings work really well. But it's also important as human beings that we are in touch with each other. That's for sure. That's going to be happening. And I think it's going to be happening real fast. I know my dad has got like 4 trips already planned for the rest of the year. I know we've got 2. And we were talking about it this last week. If you're going to get it, I think you need to go ahead and do it now. Really would. I'd get hustling on it because prices are going up really soon. I just, don't you think so? All right, we'll be back for hour number 2. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And once again, I want to mention these are my opinions only, not the station. And of course, it's really important to understand as we talk about stocks and investments in different sectors my feeling is the economy is going to open up, everything from education and kids getting back into the classroom to and allowing the parents to go or work on a more full-time basis. All of those things, right, are going to boom the economy. I think about that with my daughter, right, where my granddaughter isn't in school. Right. So what they had to do, and fortunately, they're doing well enough financially. You know, they created this little circle group, but it's not the same. Right. But now it's economically extremely expensive for them to do that. And they're going to. Right. And so this is going to change their whole work, the dynamic of the economy, all that stuff. Right. But this is my opinion that these things are going to happen. And you can't bet the farm on some future event or one particular stock, and I don't know your portfolio. So it's important for us to understand. This is not a buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell program at all. I want to think things through and think things through with you and hopefully give you a little bit of information that's maybe not on the cover, if you will, a little back page stuff that we have. So at any rate, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net if you prefer email. And right now, let's go to Brenda. Brenda, thank you for holding through the break. Go ahead, please.
Oh, no worries. My pleasure. Thanks so much for what you do. I listen to you as often as possible, and I like your style. And yeah, it might be your opinions, but I happen to agree with them. So, you know, there we go. But 2 points. One, first, was just a comment on, you know, the people in Texas and prayers and blessings their way. And the school systems, you know, we got to get in local and just make some major changes. You know, I truly believe we're in a spiritual warfare. Evil is alive and well, and we need to destroy it. You know, and it's just ridiculous how far everything has gone. The beginning, sure, yeah, assess, see what's going on, but a year and plus later, and they still don't even know, and it's not about the people. So we got to do stuff locally. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Rush Limbaugh's show, perhaps when a couple of weeks ago, I had a guest host, a retired or former military woman had called in regarding stocks versus mutual funds. And her point was not to buy mutual funds necessarily because you don't know, I mean, good income or investment, but wasn't sure like who was in control and where the monies were going, you know, and what they are advocates of or against. But she said stocks were the way to go because then you know exactly who's controlling the money. I mean, if there's somebody who's backing abortions, you know, so to speak, then you wouldn't invest in that. At least I wouldn't. But so can you explain the difference between, like, if we invest in mutual funds, is there a way to find out where those monies go or where they're invested versus stocks?
Yeah, I think what you're talking about there is so what they call socially responsible funds. And I, you know, obviously I'm taking a stab at a conversation that you heard somebody talk, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't want to be too off base, but let's run down that road a little bit. I think there's a bit of a danger there because of within stocks that people are going to say, well, you know, because there are many of them out there that run, but they're almost all tilted to the left. There are some to the right.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah.
But most all of them are socially, well, you don't want to own this because it's an oil company as a right-in-your-face example. Now, of course, they use energy, but they don't want to own stocks of energy companies. But let me say this, whether it's from the left or from the right, one of the things that is the most important thing in investing to understand, in my mind, is that you buying stock of any company and saying saying I won't buy it because of X, then that really doesn't have any effect on that company at all. That buying stock is you're buying it or selling it in the open market, not from that company. So it might make you feel good, but it has absolutely no economic impact. None. So what I always tell people to really be thinking about with investing is you think about investing and making money. And when you make excess money, you fight those causes that you are opposed to. You use some of that money that you've made.
Mm-hmm.
But doing something by not owning a company or owning a company, and I think that's a constant fight for a lot of us in owning Google and others, because they are clearly fighting against many of the causes that I think I hold dear, like freedom and freedom of speech, particularly free elections, all those things. I find, okay, but I own Google. Because I can't, me owning it or not owning it is just a matter of how I feel personally will have absolutely no impact. And I guess on a personal basis, I kind of find that an affront, if you will. I find it a bit offensive that people talk about nice things and don't, but then they don't do anything about it in their life, right? Or they always say things like, we really believe in diversity and we want to, and what do you do? Nothing. Nothing about it. You just talk about it. You want to have a bunch of rules about it. The NASDAQ wants to make sure we check boxes of LGBTQ. Seriously. Like that's an important thing. If you don't have a queer on your board, then the NASDAQ wants you to be delisted. This is insane. It's not finding the best and the brightest. It's finding the right box to check. And that's a weird thing to me. And a nothing more than feel good. Mm-hmm. Does it feel good to for black people to say, yeah, I didn't get my job because of my talent. I got my job because I'm black and I checked a box. That sounds like racism to me. I thought that's exactly the definition of racism, but I'm going to be classified as a racist, unfortunately. Now, that to me is diminishing. Again, this is a financial show, and I understand. I'm not here to give you my opinions. But when we do this within business, it takes the product down. It hurts future development when you don't have the best board members possible. You've checked boxes. When you don't hire the right people in the positions, you're just checking boxes so you can call your company diverse. That seems like the wrong direction economically, business-wise, every-wise. Now, when we turn around and say, I don't like this person's viewpoint, so I don't want to own their stock, and it has no effect at all in the world, then why am I doing that? I think so. I don't worry so much about that stuff. And Brenda, I know a lot of people do, and it's okay if you do. But it's a lot. It's very very easy to find companies out there that are pro union, pro checking the right boxes of diversity or whatever it is, and all those other things. And we support Planned Parenthood, all those things. So you're going to find lots and lots of those mutual funds out there that say we are. Guardians of that. You're going to have a harder time on the right, but there are some out there. I just think you go make money and then do things in a directed way to have a real effect, not a feel good. You know, oh, I go to bed. I'm so self-righteous. I know I've not affected anything, but I feel so self-righteous when I put my head on the pillow because I've just pretended to do things that are really along a certain line. I don't think that's good. I really appreciate people that maybe kind of sort of just put their head down and go get things done.
It comes to mind when my dad, he passed away over 10 years ago, but hey, Dad, he was just one of the true gentle giants and smart, educated engineer, design engineer, architect, Air Force, and he would tell us... excuse me, when we had any kind of conflict or something, he's like, you know, I have to think, are you butting heads against whatever it is, or are you getting in with him and then redirecting them in the right way, in the right path? So instead of constantly battling against something, then to get in, not in with it to agreement, you know, or something, but to, and not even infiltrate, I don't think that's the right word, but, you know, to help curve them away from whatever the conflict is and onto a better way, a more positive, you know, truthful way. But it just totally makes sense what you just said. You're right. You make the money, but then do something constructive with it to combat or whatever. But yeah, it's not going to change anything.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Brenda, thank you. I appreciate it. Good. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dave.
Hey there.
Yeah, as far as Brenda goes, you know, a lot of investing, I think, it's not all money, you know. If it makes you feel good, and sometimes you've got to put your morals above everything else. Now, granted, you can make money on something and then take the money and use it to fight whatever. I mean, Nike and Apple could make all the money in the world, but I don't like them. But, for instance, tobacco. I mean, I've got nothing against people that smoke, but I know it's not healthy, so I personally am not going to own tobacco stock, you know. So, anyway, I mean, it may not mean anything financially because it's in the open market and all this kind of thing, but if it makes you feel good. But the thing is that if you get too picky, every corporation does something that you won't like. I mean, there's good and there's bad about everything. So if you look at it like that, you just got to bite the bullet and go with it.
I think that's fair, and I also, I have the same. I agree with you, but I do disagree on this. It is. Let me say it this way: I agree with your second statement very strongly that we get so picky about it that we can get entrenched in our own thinking. It always reminds me too that I don't have all the right answers. I'm pretty sure of myself, right? I don't think that's in anyone's doubt that I am fairly certain about my feelings and my opinions. I like to think are based in fact, but I also know how entrenched people are, both on the left and on the right, or whatever category it is, abortion or anything else, that there is nothing, there's no argument under the sun on any, they all think they're thinking, but you can't change people's minds. And I have an article, I keep it on my desk, and I read it at least 3 times a year. It's been there for several years. A buddy of mine sent it to me a long, long time ago, made a copy of it. And it's really it's really just an article that says, I think the headline says it all. Can you change your mind? Because human beings can't. We don't. And you think about people sitting around, like one of your friends is on the left and somebody else is on the right, and they sit down for coffee for 20 years, and they always have something to discuss, and they've never changed their mind about anything. Correct?
Right.
That's right. So yep. What's the point? And then and they go, well, I was just reading this and this and this. And what did you read? You just read articles about what you already believe in to solidify the argument you have. Not to make you smarter, not to open up your mind, but just to, in fact, entrench you even deeper.
Well, you know, it's like I would listen to conservative stuff and I would believe it. And I'm conservative this, that, and the other. And you think, if only the liberal people would listen to it, say Limbaugh, which they wouldn't listen to.
Right.
But they would hear it, and they still wouldn't like it. And, well, in Trump's case, they just didn't like Trump.
Right.
But a lot of it is entrenched, and, you know, even a humongous town hall meeting I don't think would solve anything.
No. And that's part of the problem, and that's why it is so important for people to fight for a better education system. It really is, because everybody comes out totally indoctrinated. It's pretty tough to change their opinions. It takes a long time, and it takes a special person. Most people won't change their mind. You simply are not going to believe the sky is blue if, in fact, you've been taught it was red. It's blue. It's not. And I can show you all the data, and you will always say, no, it's red. It doesn't matter. We think we're smart. We think we are getting facts to make up our decisions and arguments. It's not true. We just don't do that. You have to fight as a human being to open your brain even a little bit to accept an opposing viewpoint.
Well, it's like I've got some experience. All of us old people have experience, right? And so I am going to question the government and especially the medical establishment these days. I mean, I've been through many viruses before, you know, and I'm thinking everything these days is pretty much propaganda. But the young people don't have any basis to judge anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a fair point. But we also know how entrenched in our thinking you can get as you get older. Look, I have entrenched viewpoints, and that's why I keep that article on my desk. It's not so I can point at it and tell somebody else why, you know, about the, you know, the sliver in their eye. It's so that I can recognize the plank in my eye, right? It's because I got to think about that. What am I missing about me that I am so entrenched in my thinking that I can't be budged off of it, even with real data?
You know, for example, if I thought I need the virus shot. If I thought I needed it, I'd get it. That's that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I need it, so.
It's starting to look like you're not going to in a couple months. Anyway.
According to Biden, there's a serving for every human, you know, in this country. Somebody else can have mine.
Well, I would take yours. I'm looking forward to getting my green card. That's, I'll tell you that. All right, Jim, I got to roll.
Take care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Have a good day. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. If you want to catch anything on a podcast, that's at the Apple Store, Petso Financial. We also have a YouTube now, so we're going to be working on some more. And it's interesting. We're going to play around with this, and if you have any suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. But we've got some talented people that know how to use YouTube and do some production work. And so we're looking forward to that and trying to figure out how we can maybe teach young people about money, about the markets, because again, this is not another way of beating up on the schools. We all know how poor they're doing when it comes to history and economics, at least. The reality is they don't learn that at all. So we want to have that, but we got to get better, right? Because you're listening to a medium that young people don't much anymore, and that is radio, because there's nothing for the eyes to see, and everything is shortened. They don't have attention span that's as long, and that's not a put down. It's just the reality of how they grew up. It's just we have to recognize that we need to get shorter with these shorter hits, especially with young people. So we're working on it. We're working on it. But for you, we've got some pretty cool stuff out there. Dow 30,000, things like that. So YouTube, Petso Financial, and off you go. And we're going to put some more stuff out there as we do Zoom meetings and things like that. So there we go. That's it. Let's go to, it's 580-KIDO. Aaron, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you for taking the call. Just based on what you said, this last little bit, I think I'm a product of the the poor education base on things financial based. Mm. Me and my family, we've been working really hard these last several years to kind of get out of debt, and we finally did it. And then now we're at the point to where we can invest, but now we've kind of hit a brick wall because there's so many different opinions in terms of investments. So we started with Dave Ramsey stuff, and we've kind of made our way a little bit with that. But now it's at a point to where my eldest is 9, and then I've got a 7, 2 5-year-olds and a little infant. And it's something that we want to start throwing into a fund so that by the time they're college age, there's some disposable income to be able to put towards, you know, whether it's weddings or college and stuff like that. And so I was kind of wanting to know what would be the best avenue to start putting away for kind of these purposes.
Great question. First of all, I would always, as long as you qualify for it, I would always start with a Roth IRA. Okay, because the money built.
So we've already maxed out our Roth and our.
Perfect.
I mean, we're at 11%. And we split it based on our 401k and our Roth. So we've already done that, and now we're wanting to put some away specifically for, like, a college fund.
Okay, but there's two different things. College fund is hey, that's perfect. The 529 program, the IDEAL program in Idaho, that's great. And you can start a fund. I do it on your 9-year-old to start, and you can put away, I believe it's now, a husband and wife can do $12,000 a year. And and still get a tax deduction from Idaho. Okay, so that's worth about 8%. It's not federally deductible, and if it comes out for education for your 9-year-old or your newborn, because you can keep changing the beneficiary of it, then it is going to be all the growth will be tax free. Okay, so that's
so
what.
No. So when they ask you kind of how you want to split it though on the 529 plan, how do you split the funds? I guess that's my question.
All stocks. Is that what you're asking? All stock.
Yeah, it gives me an option of how I want to divide my funds.
Be aggressive.
For the investment.
Be aggressive on them. Yeah, until you're getting within a few years, let's call it 3 years, then you want to take it down to more moderate, and then the money you're going to use the next year. But here's the reality of all the college with all your kids. You know, they're not all going to go to private school, right? Or you're going to have loans, right? So you might be funding some of it currently, meaning that year we're going to, you know, we can only afford out of cash flow one semester right? Or
right.
Or a quarter, right? And then we're going to tap into the 529. So you have a couple different buckets. So what you're putting in those years where you know, let's say your nine-year-old's going to go to school next year, you're funding that bucket even as they're going to school. You're still right. going to go, here's $12,000 going into the 529. That goes into the guaranteed account and then back out for the costs, right? So you can get
right.
the deduction. Then from there, so you don't stop funding it once you get there. What I'm saying is you probably aren't going to be able to get, you know, $500,000, so they're all going off to Harvard or whatever the numbers are at that point. But by doing this, you're going to, I think the 529 is your best example, because those that don't use it, then it can go to the younger ones. Now, that does not solve the other part you said about weddings, okay? That's the separate,
right.
That's a completely separate issue. That is not money you should be taking out of a 529, because it comes out, if it's not for education, then you have to pay taxes on the earnings plus a 10% penalty, okay?
Right.
So separate. That's where you can either use your Roth money, because contributions can come out before you're 59 and a half without penalty. You can do that.
Okay.
You can also, and if you have a, did you say your Roth was at work?
Yeah. So yeah, it's at work.
Okay. So you still will qualify outside of work for a Roth.
Oh. Okay.
Okay? You're just choosing to make 401k contributions, and you're directing some of them to the Roth option. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. You still have. You can still do, what is it, 12,000? If you're under 50 years old, you can do 6,000 each. And
okay.
remember, your contributions can always come out without any penalties. So that
okay.
can be used
That's
for
cool.
weddings and things like that. And then the rest of it, the earnings, are going to come out for you in retirement tax-free.
Right.
So that's what I would use on the outside. So we're back to starting with the Roth, 529s, get those started so the money's building
okay.
up. And because any of your, did you say you had four kids?
I have five.
Five kids. Well, congratulations. Five kids. So any of them can use that.
Okay.
So somebody's going to use it for to become a plumber, to become a teacher, whatever, and all those things. Those are somebody's going to use them of those five kids for education. So you can start there, and then that will come out tax free. Okay.
Would you cap the 529 at a certain point? Like, would you stop investing more and more into it? I mean, at what point would you say, okay, I'm not going to pay, because I don't care necessarily to pay for all their college, but I want something there in case they needed help.
Yep, absolutely. And therefore, you're exactly saying, because you can put $250,000 in there if you want. That seems a bit much.
Right.
Okay, you can do that, but you're only going to be able to deduct the 12. So what I would do is, you know, take advantage of the $12,000, put some in there, and then put some more, and put some more, and then you can slow down or stop for a while and see what's going on with your kids. And then the money is going to build up. So I'd like to get it in there so that you do get the tax-free compounding going. And then you
right.
can back off in later years.
Okay. No, that's perfect.
Okay. And then, but again, that's the same thing with the Roth, though. You know, whatever you can get in there, I'd get in there. Because then you have
okay.
everything open for you, right? You can do whatever
right.
you want. The kids get scholarships. They don't go to school. Whatever it is. And then you and your bride get to go ahead and keep that. Or
okay.
you use it to pay for
great.
A wedding. Whatever.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Aaron. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And we're going to be right back after Fox News. And why I just, it's just 80s. Man, that just doesn't seem like that long ago, does it? No, it's just crazy. Life rolls. It really did fast. I'm coming up on 60 this year. Just don't feel like it. Well, I guess that's arguable, since I managed to tweak my back earlier this week, like literally just bending over. Isn't that crazy? This stuff happens. All right, let's go to Jacob. Jacob, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I have two questions for you, completely different topics.
Okay.
The first one is when to know when a refinance is worth it.
Mm.
And the second is what kind of stock account do I want, or investing account do I want, to set myself money aside for the future, whether it be buy a new truck in the future, whether it be buy a a toy, invest in something else. I mean, play money in the future.
Okay, play money in the future. So you're already taking care of the 401k and things like that, right?
Yeah, my 401k is, and my Roth is maxed out.
Perfect. Awesome. Good job. So you're just talking about, I mean, it's got extra money and way to go, first of all.
Yeah,
and
I
want to put it away.
Set it aside and grow it. And so whatever happens in the future, if I want to buy something or do something with it, take a vacation, you know, whatever. What's the best stocks or, account set up to do that?
I would use a general stock account. I would, right? Meaning it'll hold anything from mutual funds to stocks to cash, right? It's just a brokerage account is what it is, right? So I would do that, and I would say, first of all, I would try to mentally separate it out. Like, let's say, for example, you are saying, I'm going to seed this with $25,000, okay? And I don't need that money right now. I don't have a toy in mind right now. So I would say you want really to think about this in about three different buckets, at least initially. First of all, I want you to build up a little bit of an account where you can say, hey, when I see something in a toy, it's coming out of this bucket. And let's just call that eventually I want to get, say, $25,000 in that one. I want to take a trip. I want to know I can pay mostly for a car or truck or whatever, right? And then you can also focus your energy once you've identified that. For example, if you're regularly adding, and then you simply add to these different buckets depending on, hey, I got something coming up here, and it's going to be 50 grand, okay? So let's get that 25 towards 50, right? You can always take out of all the buckets, but let me explain why. Your first bucket's going to have lower risk and lower returns, okay? Next bucket's going to be more medium-term things. And I think you can do stocks, dividend-paying stocks, all those things. Things you'll probably end up keeping, right? You'll keep them and maybe draw income from them later on. Okay? And then you have long-term things that are maybe more growth-oriented. And that's what's in there for pure growth. Well, if growth is working, there's nothing wrong with selling it, paying a little capital gains, and using part of that money for an expenditure. You just have to know that if you pick the wrong time and we're having a correction in the markets, that's not the time to pull it out, right? And take your money out. So that's all. That's why you want three different buckets. So that when you do, it's not really emergency money, but if you want, you can just have it all in one bucket, and you can say, I want more moderate. I just want to go with stocks, and some of them will be dividend paying, and some will be growth, and maybe I'll target some exchange traded funds. In robotics and genetics and things like that because that's trending positive, right, for the future. You can do that. Just don't take money out when the markets are bad. Okay?
Yeah,
so,
I gotcha.
So that, you can just say, I just want to go one way and I just want money to grow. And what kind of account does that look like? That looks like a nice mix of a diversified stock fund using mutual funds too, and exchange-traded funds, and maybe you will buy a stock or two. But please don't start the whole gambling thing like Robin Hood stuff is.
No, I'm not a day trader at all,
no,
by any means.
Don't do that. It'll waste your time and your life. Don't do that. It is. And it's also very, very financially dangerous. It really is. So having said that, if you're going to do that, I have no problem with that. Just don't take money out and don't use this as an emergency fund. You can create an emergency fund within that.
I have a liquid emergency fund and a savings account.
Perfect. Then you're all covered. Then this is the excess. Go ahead and invest it. Just don't take money out for a truck or whatever when the markets are bad. Okay?
Play the timing. Gotcha. Awesome. And the next question I have is refinance. I'm looking at refinancing my house.
Okay. This is a great time to refinance, by the way, because rates have really moved up. We need to talk about that probably next week. But rates have moved much higher. It's a good time to jump on it because it hasn't affected mortgage rates yet. Okay, and so if you are looking at it, and when are the costs worth doing? That is simple math. Okay,
can I give you my theory or my thought on it and see if you agree on it?
Mm-hmm.
Taking the difference in interest I was paying before. And the interest I was going to be paying, the new interest rate, you know, my annual interest payment, and then dividing that by what the closing costs are, and then see how many years it takes to pay off. That's my math on it,
That works fine. I don't have any problem with that. How many years does it take to pay for the closing costs is what you're really talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if you're going to be in the house for clearly longer than that, then why not? The other thing you can do too is that if you're trying to create investment accounts, pull a little bit out, just a little bit. you know, to enhance that, because interest rates are super low. Just make sure you don't get aggressive with that money, and your cash flow is good, and you have your emergency fund. What's that?
Define a little bit. 5-10 grand.
If you're going to refinance, it depends on the total. If you're talking about pulling out $250,000 and it's a refi and you have room to go up to 350, right, on a refi, and cash flow wouldn't be bothered for you, that'd all be easy. I don't have a problem with you taking that out to get your investment account started at all. I don't have any problem. Not at today's interest rates. I'm not saying go out and create a loan to go do that and start playing around, but you sound like you've got your emergency fund handled, you're funding your 401k, your Roth is fully funded. Man, you're doing great. And so if you want to kickstart, I don't have a problem at today's interest rates kickstarting your investment account.
Never thought of that. That's a good
idea. Because you ask about the closing costs, and that got me thinking about it. So since closing costs need to be covered, the more you borrow, the easier it is to cover it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's why the problem I'm facing. I only owe like $110,000 on the house, so it makes it hard to justify the closing costs.
Correct. So if you are thinking about doing it and you want to take out $150,000, maybe it's justified more, but you don't need to be paying extra on it at today's interest rates. Just make sure you're doing things in a very thoughtful, more moderate risk way, and you better have the right temperament, because if you're going to be worried about a normal market correction, that's not the way to do this. It's not supposed to be stressful. It's not.
No, I try to play it pretty cool.
Okay, good. Good. Okay.
Well, hey, thank you very much, sir.
Jacob, thank you. You have a great day. Good job.
Thank you. Great show today.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. Greg, hang on. We got to take our final break, and we'll get to you on the other side. Hello, welcome. And once again, thank you very much for joining us. And if you want to catch a podcast, you can also get those at our website, petsofinancial.com. Link up to the media, and you're off and running. Also, again, you can have them automatically downloaded through Apple Store. All right, let's go to Greg. Greg, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning. A little bit ago, you were talking about, certain ethical mutual funds. That person brought up that question. And, you know, I had a little anecdote. A few years ago, we went down to dinner downtown before the hockey game, and we walked in, and on the chalkboard of the restaurant, at the top, it said, "We use green energy." And so I pondered, and I thought, well, how do they get their energy different than the parking garage that's attached to it and the other restaurants around it? It was this giant complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked them, or the person at the counter, I said, so do you have your own wind farm on the roof? Or your solar panels, or are they bringing it in and batteries? And, of course, the people at the counter, they were kind of mystified. But when the waiter came to bring us our food, I asked him the same question, and I suggested the fact that maybe the owners were just simply contributing to some green carbon credit, kind of scam in order to feel good and try and be able to write on the board, we use green energy.
Right.
As opposed to having their own power grid that was supplying them from a wind farm, somewhere.
Exactly.
Or was it just an emotional kind of catchphrase, buzz phrase to get people's attention?
Yeah, it is. It's, it's one of those things too. I don't mean to be vulgar in any way, but it's like I really don't. But this whole pretend thing of how sensitive and when I was young and it was always all about women's rights and all those things, right? And good for them. It was obviously the world needed to change. So don't get me wrong. As a friend of ours pointed out, we have a very diverse by accident office. Yeah, I mean, we do. It just is. We have more women there than we do men. And that's very unusual in our industry. Men advisors are outnumber women 3 or 4 to 1. It's a very large. That's by accident. That's not because we wanted to check a box. It's because the very best advisor we have is a woman. right? That's just, she's a rock star. That's, you've heard her, Jennifer Stone. And she did the show last week with Tom Brown. So he's the other white guy in there besides me. So anyway, and my dad. But at any rate, my point being is it back in the day, you would be like, to try to get a girl, you know, to go out with you, you'd be like super sensitive and you'd act like you were really like into women's rights and things like that. Now, if you're not into the planet, you don't get a date. And so we all have to play that game. And I don't think that the Young Republicans Club in most colleges, that these are, you know, guys that get a lot of action, let's just say. So I'm hopeful that there's more people out there that really are conservative that just can't say it when they're amongst their nutty friends that say that they have no concept. You know, Al Gore flies all over the planet in a private jet. He uses 10, 20 times the amount of carbons as any other any average human being does. Oh, but he plants trees. And then he gets up there on the stages for million-dollar fees and tells people about how they have to behave better. And it's this is so consequential to the entire planet. We've got to stop this climate change. And he makes a fortune and fear-mongering around the world. It's all phony.
You know, and pandering his carbon credit stock exchange scheme.
Correct.
I always thought that if Al Gore actually divided, I think it was a 10,000 square foot Tennessee mansion, if he divided it into, you know, 7 or 8 1,200 foot condos, housed a bunch of families, and he lived in a yurt in the backyard, you could almost give the guy some credit.
You could.
But like you said, when he's flying around in his own jet with his carbon footprint, wagging his finger at everybody else, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. And that kind of tends to be typical in those circles. But, yeah, I just thought it was kind of amusing that they wrote on the chalkboard, we use green energy. And when you press them on it, you know, do you have batteries that they haul in at the, in the morning to fire up the stoves? Or are you just paying a few bucks to some carbon credit account so you can claim you're saving the planet?
Exactly. Or you're just saying it and not doing anything about it. We're using green energy because they recycle grease out of the back. Well, everybody does. It's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with clean air and clean water and things like that.
Sure.
But this whole attitude, it's like when Boise, you know, so our wonderful mayor came out and proclaimed that Boise would be, you know, green energy or carbon neutral by 2035 or something. It's like, nope.
Yeah.
What, they have a big lab there at City Hall? No, they don't. It's a proclamation of nothing. Nothing. It's based on zero. Mm-hmm. There's nothing they can do. It's all about technology, but it all is, that's so nice. Oh, she cares so much more than those angry people over there. She cares a lot about me and my planet and the dolphins. She cares more by doing nothing. Just pretending to have a voice.
Every house will have an electric vehicle plug-in in it, you know, as if that thing is a magic producer of electricity.
Right, right.
It just magically shows up at those two little holes in the wall.
Right.
You know,
it is. It's a frustrating thing.
Nuts.
It is nuts. And we have to have honest dialogue. There's nothing wrong with it. Maybe I think that it's a great idea to do battery cars, right? To do them all electric. But at the same time, can't we have a discussion about what we're doing with lithium and what we're going to do with all those batteries and how much carbon we use to make them? It's tough.
They're burying the windmill blades in the Wyoming, I can't call it desert
yeah,
because they can't be recycled.
Exactly. Hey, got to roll, Greg. Thank you.
Yep.
Have a great day.
Take care.
And that is, as you can tell, well, you maybe can't tell, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today. PetsoFinancial.com if you have any comments.